Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from their first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. This is the word of the Lord.
Father Howe, we thank you that you do speak. Thank you so much that you speak, not to leave us guessing, but to give us certainty. And we pray as we come to this part of your word, would you help us to see just how solid it is, and so be certain about the things we've been taught. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really don't like getting lost. I don't know if you know that feeling. I especially don't like it when you just feel that you don't know where you're going. Perhaps if you're in a town or a city that you don't know very well, you can't match what you see with the map in front of you. There's something wrong with the map, you start to think. Maybe you're out for a walk in the hills or the countryside and the clouds, the fog come down and you can't even see the things around you. You can't even see where you are. And the worst thing about it is that uncertain feeling, isn't it? That doubt that you're going to be able to find your way. Not a nice feeling at all. The truth is, isn't it, if we're honest, we experience that same feeling in our lives sometimes. From time to time, we get that sinking feeling that we're not so sure about life as we once were. Maybe God doesn't feel so certain as he used to. Maybe you've never been certain about God and who he is. The big issues of life and death, things that happen, can make us feel lost as well. How can we be certain about what happens when we die? Maybe when we see the big stories hit the news of terrorism, home and abroad, it makes us feel like the world is an uncertain place and we feel lost. And it makes us retreat, doesn't it, into just what's in front of us in daily life. And we lose confidence, easy to feel lost. This morning, we're moving on from Genesis to a new series in Luke's Gospel. At the end of this morning's passage, right at the very start of Luke's Gospel, this passage contains these words. They're absolutely monumental. Luke says, "I too decided to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke starts his gospel, his account of the life and death of Jesus, by saying, here you can find certainty. Here you can be sure. There's no more being lost, no more doubt. And he's not talking here about small things or finding your way home. He's talking about the big things of God and us, of life and death. Here you can find certainty. It's a monumental claim, one that surely is so appealing in our day and age. Wouldn't it be great to find certainty? Certainty about what life is really about. Certainty about where we can really find security. Certainty about how we should live, about what happens when we die. So we'll spend some time with Luke and go through these first four verses as he starts his gospel. And we're just going to think this morning about why. Why is what he's saying here able to give us certainty? We'll walk our way through these verses and we'll see that there's three big reasons that he gives us as to why we can be certain. First, we'll see that Luke is talking about real events in history. Second, we'll see that he's going to show us real witnesses who saw them. And then third, we'll see that he used real investigation to research them, real investigation. We'll take those in turn, and as we put them together, we'll see that what Luke gives us here can give us real certainty. So first, let's go back to verse 1, and we'll see that Luke is telling us about real events. He starts like this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Luke starts his account of the life of Jesus by telling us that he's not alone in this project. In fact, many people have already done what he's about to do in this book. He tells us that many people have already written up an account of all the things that have happened. He's talking about Jesus' miracles, his teaching, Jesus' life, his journey to Jerusalem, and Jesus' death and resurrection. Included in that many are at least two that we know about, Mark, who wrote Mark's Gospel, being one, and then what became Matthew's Gospel being another. John's Gospel probably came after Luke. And so what Luke pictures for us in his mind's eye is a group of different individuals, all busily looking in and seeing together something that has all happened in the public view. He's picturing for us a group of biographers all looking in on real events that happened in public and then writing down their descriptions of what took place. When Luke talks here about the things that have been fulfilled, he's using words that speak of real, solid events. He's talking about all that he goes on to then describe in the rest of his gospel. Ultimately, how God has stepped into history as a man. How Jesus did things, miracles that no one else could do. How he taught people who God was and is and what life should look like. And how Jesus died on a cross and rose again. See, Luke here is saying that everything starts with those real events. See, Luke is giving us certainty because he's telling us about real events in history. It's useful for us, isn't it, just to take a minute and reflect on that. It tells us something really important for us to grasp about the Christian message. See, it tells us that the Christian message isn't first and foremost some teaching about how to live a moral life. Neither is the Christian faith some kind of abstract principles or ideas that someone has thought up about God. No, the Christian message is about real events that took place in real time and space with real people like you and I. Real events that if we'd been there at the time, you would have been able to see with your own eyes. See, we can be certain about God because we learn about him through real events in history. Luke here is offering certainty, a real certainty about the big questions of life and death as we see those real events in history. But I'm not sure how you're thinking about that. It certainly raises the question in my mind that there are many in our culture who aren't so certain, are they? We don't have to go far, do we, to hear that opinion that, well, yes, in the life of Jesus, there may have been real events, but they've been lost in history. Now, Jesus is happy that people are happy often to say that he was a real person and that he was a good teacher. But what he was really like and what he really did, that's perhaps lost in the mists of time. People often say that in those terms, don't they? That they want to affirm he's a good teacher, but perhaps all the stuff about being God and rising from the dead, well, that might have been added later. See, when we hear that from the TV or the newspaper or a friend in the office, we certainly kind of feel our certainty drain away, don't we? That feeling of being lost, of being not so sure, of doubt, it creeps back in. How can we be certain about what Jesus really claimed and what he did? Well, Luke helps us there as well, because he doesn't just tell us that there were real events. He moves on next to tell us that there were real witnesses to those events too. Real witnesses. Let's pick up in verse 2, where we meet Luke's real witnesses. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Luke says these things were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Here, if you like, Luke is telling us where the information about those real events has come from. This is about sources. Luke is saying that the sources for the many people writing those many accounts were eyewitnesses and were servants of the message. He stresses here, he tells us that these eyewitnesses are qualified to speak the truth about those real events. He says they've been with Jesus from the first, probably meaning from the time of his baptism, the start of his public ministry, aged about 30. And he also stresses that they were servants of the message, not in it for themselves. They got no glory from it. He doesn't mention their names here. It's not their name on the front of the book. They don't get paid for it. No, they served the message. But above all, Luke calls them eyewitnesses. It's a great word, isn't it? He's talking about people who saw with their own eyes what Jesus did. They heard him teach. They saw his miracles. They watched him die. And then they met him after he'd risen from the dead. We know from reading on in Luke's gospel, these eyewitnesses have names. Peter, John, Mary, Levi. People who saw Jesus' day-to-day life, who traveled with him, and then passed on what they had seen to Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and the others who wrote accounts about Jesus' life. Some of these eyewitnesses, we know, later gave up their lives for what they taught and believed in as they were persecuted by the Romans. Now, it's worth saying, isn't it, that we're all too aware today, in today's world, that dying for a cause doesn't make it good or right. But certainly these eyewitnesses would not have died for a cause that they knew was not true. See, we can be certain about what Jesus said. He's not lost in history. We can be certain about what he did. Luke, if you like, here gives us a chain. By what he's told us so far, this chain looks pretty cast iron solid, doesn't it? The first link in that chain were those real events in history. Second link is that there are eyewitnesses, real eyewitnesses to those events. And then there's one more link that Luke wants us to see, and that's his own part in this whole chain. He himself used real investigation. See, he brings us to that third link in the chain, that he himself used real investigation. Let's keep moving because it's cold, and we'll look at verse 3. Where he talks about his own part in this. He says this, "With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." He says, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning." With this third link in the chain, Luke finally gets to his part in the whole process. And Luke tells us the part that he is playing in writing this book doesn't simply involve writing down word for word what the eyewitnesses had seen. He tells Theophilus that the part he played was that, yes, but more. He has carefully checked and researched and investigated before he wrote his gospel. We don't know a great deal about this person, Theophilus, who's mentioned, but it's most likely that he's the guy who's paid for Luke's work. See, writing a book in the ancient world would need a rich benefactor to pay for it. It'd be perhaps a bit like we would read in the front of a book today, you know, for Theophilus, without whose, you know, generous support this work would not have been possible. And Luke wants Theophilus to know that he has done everything necessary to investigate Jesus' life. He says that he's done it carefully. He tells us that he's followed it again from the beginning. And that he set it out as an orderly account. Nothing missing, no stone left unturned. What Luke says here adds a huge weight of reliability to the gospel accounts that we have in the Bible. You see, scholars are generally agreed that Luke was writing most likely around 30 to 35 years after Jesus' death. Mark had already written his gospel earlier, about 10 years earlier. In the ancient world, that was very soon for an account of someone's life. Most importantly, for us today, we need to see that that's within the lifetime of those eyewitnesses who had been there and seen it. That's why Luke stresses he's investigated so carefully. He's poured his reputation into this book. See, anyone could have popped up with when this book had been written and said, no, it didn't happen like that because I was there. But they didn't. You see, Luke's gospel is the result of real investigation. The picture that Luke wants us to have when we pick up his book in the Bible is that what we have in our hands is a carefully researched biography of the life of Jesus. That what he has written is carefully laid out as historical narrative. that what is recounted here can be checked with the eyewitnesses. See, this is a book that is meant to command our respect and can stand up to scrutiny and to skepticism and to our questions. See, Luke is saying this is the result of real investigation. And as Luke tells us that, he adds that third link in the chain. First, real events in history, seen then, second, by real witnesses, and then researched by Luke with real investigation. It's fact, isn't it, that if each link of the chain is solid, well, then the whole thing is absolutely reliable. That means that for us today, there is a reliable chain going all the way back to Jesus, to who Jesus is and what he's done for us. For Luke, that reliable chain means one thing. It means that we can go back to where we started and say, we can know the certainty of the things that we've been taught. Luke writes at the end, he says, I've written this so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. He's writing with that express aim of giving certainty to his readers. He puts this right at the start of his gospel before he tells us anything that's happened. When we come back and next week, we'll continue to think about what Luke goes on to tell us. And that means that when we hear that, we know that what Luke writes can give us certainty. Certainty about who God is, because he's stepped into history. Certainty about salvation and security. Certainty about peace in a fragile world. Luke's gospel is a cast iron chain reaching back to Jesus himself so that we today can be certain about life's big questions. If that's the case, and Luke builds a great case, why do we not hear that from our people around us in the public square in our day-to-day lives? It's true, isn't it? It's hard for us to be certain today about the Christian gospel because, well, we see a whole culture walking in the opposite direction, leaving it behind. See, the message that we pick up from the voices in the culture is, no, there's nothing solid there. As a culture, if you like, we've tried that. We've moved on from Jesus. But the reason that our culture doesn't want to find its security in Jesus is not actually the fault of the message itself. It can't be. We've seen this morning that we can be certain. No, the reason that people leave it behind, the reason that we ourselves are tempted to move away from Jesus and to doubt it's reliable, was that actually we don't want to be certain. We don't want that claim, Jesus' claim on our lives. We like having an excuse, don't we, to wander off and live how we please, even if that does mean drifting in doubt and insecurity, in uncertainty. And so Luke is holding up his gospel as a sure place to find certainty, as a call to come and find it here. But that throws the ball back into our courts, doesn't it? Saying, will we come and listen to him? Will we come and pay attention and find certainty about life as it's on offer? The truth is, we all know, don't we, it's just a lot easier to switch on the TV and listen to those voices rather than listen to the reliable voices of the past. But it's helpful here, isn't it, to see that what Luke offers is far more valuable. See, Luke offers the kind of certainty that knows who God is, that knows what life's about. Certainty about where you'll go when you die. You just have to come and listen and find it here. Coming and finding that certainty will mean different things for each of us. Perhaps for those of us who've been believers for a while, but we know that from time to time we doubt or waver. We all do. Well, Luke tells us here that if we're going to be certain, we just need to come and keep listening to him and find that certainty. It's true in the Christian life, isn't it, that we can't simply expect to spend our days listening to the world and then be certain and assured about the gospel. Why not in your spare time, sometime today perhaps, simply pick up Luke's gospel in your Bible and read, short amount or long amount. Just listen to what Luke tells you about Jesus. But for others, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to be certain about God, but I just never have been at all. I've never really understood. In the new year, we meet over seven Monday evenings from January the 11th onwards to talk about exactly that. We spend an hour in here on a Monday evening from 8 till 9 looking into Mark's gospel, asking what it tells us about Jesus and why we can be certain about it. It's open to anyone, and we always say that any question is allowed. If you want to know more about Christianity Explored, just come and ask me after the service. God doesn't want us to be lost. He has given us a book that is a cast iron chain between what he has done in history and us today. And so he invites us here to come and listen and hear the gospel from these writers so that we won't be lost, but so that we might know the certainty of everything that we've been taught. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your kindness in giving us such a reliable book. Father, how we thank you for Luke and his hard work. We thank you that you turn up in history. And thank you so much that we can be certain about all of that. Please help us to come and listen to Luke and find the certainty that we need in life. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.